This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. In the 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump promised to bring back the coal industry, touting the advantages of so-called clean coal. As president, he's continued to insist coal will be a significant part of the nation's energy future. But will it? Here in Michigan, there's a shift away from coal, and according to our guest this morning, it is unlikely there's going to be any such shift back to coal. Jerry Anderson is the chairman and CEO of DTE Energy, and thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, David.
If I'm not mistaken, you have announced plans that DTE is planning a slow but full phase-out of coal, correct?
That is true, yeah. I have essentially said that Michigan is in the midst of a very fundamental shift in the way that it produces electricity, and with that comes a shift away from coal toward natural gas and renewables. That's very basic.
With no new coal plants in the pipeline, when do you expect the last to go offline? It's going to take a period of time anyway.
Yeah, it will take a period of time. So this past year, we announced the closure of 11 coal-fired generating units. Three of them have happened. Eight more will happen in the early 2020s. And then we will continue that phase down across the remainder of the 2020s and 2030s. I'd expect as we play our way through the 2030s, we will probably see a full transition away from coal toward other resources.
And a good part of the reason as to why this is possible is natural gas. The prices are very low right now. How much of DTE's future will rely on natural gas production and distribution?
So as we back down coal, it will be backfilled by a mix of natural gas and renewables. And you are right. It wasn't all that long ago. If you go back to 2007, 2008, this country believed it was running out of natural gas and that it was going to be in short supply and very high priced. And then a strange thing happened. Almost coincident with the economic crisis was a revolution in both technologies related to natural gas and discoveries of vast new natural gas formations. And so today, the country has the opportunity to replace coal with, in part, natural gas. I'd say in parallel with that revolution in natural gas was a fundamental shift down in the cost of renewables as well. So as we looked out toward our energy future in 2007 and didn't quite know where the shift away from coal was going to come from, we now have natural gas in vast quantities and low prices and renewables that continue to come down the cost curve. So that's an optimistic thing for our country, and it's already making a big difference in carbon emissions.
And there are certainly some concerns, though. The U.S. Energy Information Administration issued a report this month showing that in 2015, which was the last year for which statistics were available, a full two-thirds of natural gas production in the United States is coming through fracking. Now, while natural gas may provide a break on the monthly and annual energy bills, are we getting that at the expense of the future health of our environment because of the process in which we extract this resource?
Well, a couple of things. Natural gas provides a 70% reduction in carbon emissions. The other thing I would say is I believe you can undertake the process of natural gas extraction in a responsible way that works for the environment. It's a process that a lot of people probably haven't set their eyes on, but I have, and I think like a lot of things, it needs to be regulated. There need to be good processes in place, but if we do that, I think we can make use of that resource as a really important step towards cleaner production of energy.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking Michigan's energy future with the chairman and CEO of DTE Energy, Jerry Anderson. Now, there is an increased demand for renewable energies to become a greater part of the energy equation, and it is. Your investment in solar and wind now accounts for what percentage of energy generation?
10%. We put a couple of billion dollars into renewables production, generally over the last 5 years. And we're now at 10% and have just agreed in the most recent round of legislation that we will take that to 15% by 2021.
In getting to that point, there have been several projects over the past few years in which the investment in solar and wind is more prominent. There's a big array in Detroit now. You have a couple of arrays in Washtenaw County as well. Where are we going to see the future of wind and solar take us?
So we are headed next toward the 15% marker. We have six large wind farms. In Michigan, wind is clearly the most economic resource today. It's roughly half the cost of solar. Solar continues to come down the cost curve, so we're beginning to push our way into more solar production, but I'd say the dominant resource in the near term will be wind. We've done a lot of that in the thumb area of Michigan to date, but are moving more heavily into central Michigan now as a place where there are good resources as well. So think of areas north of Lansing. Our first really large solar resource came on this past year. That was a resource in Lapeer County, 200,000 panels, 50 megawatts. That was a significant. You see that one from the sky, it looks sort of like a lake sitting down there, large solar investment. We'll continue to do more of those as well.
As you mentioned, right now, from a utility standpoint, wind is the better investment. But technology in the solar industry, in the residential energy markets, is expanding quickly. Does DTE have a stance on the solar shingles and power walls marketed by Tesla that would allow more residents to go energy neutral or even return power to the grids?
Well, here's what I'd say about that. We do have customers who want to invest in panels on their homes. If you compare the cost of investing in panels on a home to a project like the one we just did in Lapeer County where you have a couple hundred thousand panels, it's 2 or 3 to 1 in cost. So, and that's not surprising. When you do a project that has hundreds of thousands of panels, you would expect the cost to be fractions of what it takes to put 10 or 20 panels on a home. So the lowest cost way for the state to move forward with solar is in larger scale projects. And the reality is if we're going to move the dial on emissions and move the dial on carbon, we're going to need to take this on in a very large scale way.
But wouldn't communities dedicated to helping their residents get more solar power, wouldn't that help you get closer to your goal more quickly?
It can, but it's more expensive. So 2 to 3 times the cost per unit of output. So if we want this move toward renewables and low carbon to be affordable, we need to take it on in the lowest cost way and take it on at very large scale. So let me give you a sense for that. This solar project was a $100 million investment, 200,000 panels, but that will supply 0.2% of our energy production. So these are significant investments over time to move the dial. But we are moving the dial. Look, our carbon emissions at DTE are down 26% from 2005 to 2016, this last year. So all of this investment in natural gas, retirement of coal, and renewables, we're moving the ball, but it is going to take significant investments over time at large scale to continue to make that the case. And if we want to balance keeping energy affordable with more modern and cleaner sources of energy, we need to take it on in the most affordable ways.
We will continue our conversation with DTE Energy Chairman and CEO Jerry Anderson later in the program. We've discussed coal, natural gas, and renewable energy. In the second part of our conversation, we're going to talk about Michigan's nuclear future, grid security, and the effort to get 80% or more carbon emission reductions in the future. This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.